songs sung again in the praises of the Lord. I know while we were at the camp down in Louisiana, it was a different setting, and most of the people were from Louisiana and Texas, and so a number of the mandates have been lifted, and so we sang for probably a half hour or so in each of the services. And then they had a number of special songs, and it was just a great blessing to hear singing again to that extent. And so as we move forward, it is a joy to hear the different groups, and it'll be exciting to see the orchestra back tonight. And we'll pray that God will bring them all back in and have them playing again for us. But with each of these steps forward, I pray that God will continue to protect and to direct our congregation. And I appreciate so much your patience in reopening a lot of these different classes and different children's times and so forth. And we look forward to all of this occurring again anew. I am thankful for our Sunday school hour. And if you've not yet participated in the combined class here in the auditorium, we have it at 9 o'clock. And I appreciate the men that have ministered already, and look forward to the coming weeks as well, as we've had a number of different men that will minister the Word of God to us. If you would, take your Bibles this morning and go with me to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Again, thankful for this great book of the Bible, this great gospel, and I pray that it's been a help to you as we look at these passages, one text at a time. And it's challenged me in a lot of different areas with some sections of the Word of God that we rarely hear much about. And it's been a great challenge for me in study and in preparation. And then I pray that I'm faithful in communicating what the Word is teaching, and that we all go out of the services each and every week with tools with which we can better minister in our society. And I like how Mr. Bradford said this morning that the society is in desperate need today. And there are families that are hurting, there are individuals that are hurting, and we have the opportunity to share the light of Christ. No doubt for a myriad of reasons, you'd come across someone in a difficult position even today, and you have the opportunity to minister the truth, to minister the Word of God, and really to shine forth the hope that is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, it brings it back to me all the more in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for those that die without a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is great sorrow. But what a truth that we find in that passage when the Bible says that we are mindful of our loved ones that have gone into eternity, but the Bible says we sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And so we have great hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is our desire to see others come to know the Lord and to have that same hope within their life. We are delighted to have you visiting with us today. Perhaps this is your first time with us or first time in a long time. At the end of the service, we'd love the opportunity to meet you there by the welcome desk and have a special gift for you as well. So please come by and introduce yourself. And we're delighted to have old friendships back with us as well today, and look forward to getting reacquainted this morning as well. Luke chapter 13. Would you look at this next passage with me? Now, this passage is going to really excite some of you, and you're going to walk out saying, man, that was awesome. Some of you will probably walk out saying, I didn't like what he said. Oh, that preacher, I tell you what, I don't know what he's talking about. Some of you will want to do this with your neighbor, and you'll want to nudge them. You'll want to say, he's talking to you, you know. Some of you will want to do that with your spouse, perhaps, and you'll want to nudge them and say, see, he's talking to you. The truth of the matter is the passage has it all this morning. And what a great story we find here in Luke chapter 13. I want you to begin reading with me in verse number 10. Luke chapter 13, verse number 10. And he, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Well, I tell you what, there's so much in this text. There's so much in this passage. And I pray that it'll be a help and a blessing to your heart this morning. Let's ask God's direction as we go to this message today. Father, we thank you and praise you for your bountiful blessings to us. We thank you for the music that's been sung this morning. Thank you for this great song that was sung there by the Provost family. We appreciate so much their investment on our behalf, that we might rejoice with them and that we might think on the words that have been sung, and we put our voices in with theirs to sing praises to our great God. We thank you for your delivering power. We thank you for your saving power. We thank you, Lord, for the sanctifying power. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. Grace that saves and grace that sustains. And Lord, I pray that you be with each one that has come this morning. I do pray that you would meet the need of the hour if there be one that does not know Christ. Perhaps they're in the circumstances of this lady in which they find themselves in desperate need of physical healing and a spiritual healing. Lord, would you minister that to that need today? And then, Lord, we pray for the others that are found in this passage. Lord, would you help us to take note of these as well and to learn from their error? Lord, I pray that you would direct my thoughts, cleanse me of sin, and fill me with your Holy Spirit even this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We've walked through much teaching from the Lord Jesus Christ over the previous chapters, in chapters 11, 12, and now coming into chapter 13. And the Lord Jesus Christ has been very direct in so much of what he has said because of the nature of the audience that is listening to the Lord. We turn our attention now in this passage to a time frame in which the Lord enters a synagogue, and he enters it for the purpose of teaching the Word of God. And so we begin this morning as we unfold this text and unfold everything that's going to take place in this text with being in the right place. Being in the right place. Boy, don't you just enjoy it when you're at the right place at the right time? Perhaps you're walking down a street and you look down and lo and behold, there's a $20 bill. This happened, I think, to one of our sons the other day. And we got out of our parking place. The boys exited their door and they looked down and found, I think it was either a 10 or a 20. Boy, I tell you what, that's always a blessing to plop one of those in your wallet, and it's a blessing to do it unexpectedly. That's always a blessing. Now, I always love the higher increments, but I'm never upset about the 10 or the 20. You know, being at the right place at the right time, you receive a blessing from being at the right place and being there at the right time. Now, in our passage, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the synagogue, and this was the place where the teaching of the Word of God would take place. And on the Sabbath, you would meet with other people that wanted to hear the truths of the Word of God. Now, I tell you what, I am so blessed to be able to transition from the synagogue and the nature of the Sabbath to what has transpired in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Immediately upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we transition from the Sabbath to the Lord's Day. And so you and I no longer meet on Saturday, but we meet on Sunday morning, the day that Christ rose from the dead. In fact, in just a few weeks, we'll be celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm indeed grateful that every single Sunday morning, we get together and we worship a risen Savior. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was still in the grave on the Sabbath, but on Sunday morning He arose. Well, I tell you what, from that time forward, you see the local church meeting on the first day of the week. And so we no longer meet in the synagogue, we no longer meet on the Sabbath, but praise God, we've been blessed with a place to come and to learn from the Word of God and to be around God's people. And I'll tell you what, I am so blessed by the local New Testament church. I've been a part of a lot of different things in my life, but I've never been a part of anything that's more important than the local New Testament church. God has afforded me the opportunity to be a part of only 4 independent Baptist churches in my lifetime. And I'm so thankful for each of them. They both blessed our hearts. They both ministered to our families and help us to grow in the Word of God. And there's just nothing like being with the body of Christ. Now, I am blessed to be with others that have chosen to be a part of this body. And in our passage here, the Lord Jesus Christ goes to that place where the Word is going to be taught, and He goes to that place where other people want to be there so that they can also hear the Word of God. This is the place to listen to the Word of God. This is the place to learn the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ goes to this place for a specific reason. It's interesting to me in Acts chapter 17, in verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul, the Bible says, went to the synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. The Apostle Paul, in that time of transition, in ministering the truth of the gospel in these different cities that have literally never heard of all that Jesus Christ has done for them, in that transition, the Bible says that this was his habit. He went there because he knew he'd see people. He went there because he knew the Word of God would be taught. And he wanted to bring them along in their knowledge. He wanted to open and allege with them that Jesus Christ had died and was buried and that he rose again. Now we transition to the great truth concerning the New Testament local church. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25. The Bible says that we ought not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We recognize that there are some believers who just say, no, I don't want to be a part of that. They forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And the Bible goes on to say, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What day is approaching? It's the day of the Lord. I tell you what, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, and His return could be any day. Well, I tell you what, it'd be exciting to drive to church one day, and while I'm driving to church, it'd be exciting to hear the trumpet call. Well, I tell you what, that would be something to hear the Lord Jesus Christ call us home. We arise on a Sunday morning expecting to meet with the local visible body of Christ, but on that day, Christ calls us all home to be with Him. Boy, that'd be something else. My friend, that day is not far away. The Bible says in this time and age in which so much is occurring and so much is disheveled, the Bible says in a time which people have lives that are built on shifting sand, the Bible says for you and for me that know Christ, it's the time for us to meet together all the more. Well, I tell you what, COVID has sure changed so much, hasn't it? So people will ask me from different churches, they'll say, so what is your church doing and how is your church operating? And I'll rehearse kind of where we were in March of 2020 and kind of how we progressed. And then they'll share their story for how they've progressed and walked through it. And it's unbelievable because it doesn't seem that any church has had the same exact path. It has affected all of us. And I tell you what, if you said, Pastor, you're going to go for 2 straight months and you're going to preach to an empty auditorium, I would have thought to myself, come on, that kind of thing will never happen. I'll never be preaching to an empty auditorium unless my preaching is really that bad. Perhaps it was. But For 2 straight months, we go with no in-person services. I remember the days where we would sit in business, our business and budget meetings, and we'd prepare with money in the bank, and we'd say, you know, we want to make sure that we retain so much money above our tithes and offerings on a weekly basis in the event that some time would come along and we didn't have an offering plate passed for a few weeks. And now it's been over a year since we've passed an offering plate here at FBT. You say, that would never happen, and yet it's happened. Well, I tell you what, it has changed many things. But I pray and I hope that it's not changed your love for the local church. And while we're delighted to have many people joining us online, and I know that there are people joining us online from many different states across the country, and even around the world, we get feedback from individuals. I'm thankful for the online ministry. There's still nothing like meeting with the body of Christ. And I tell you what, if you're nervous about the virus, there are ways around it. You can come on Wednesday nights and we can really socially distance you. We can send you to the distant regions of the auditorium and we can really allow you to be in your own place. You say, well, I'm really nervous about being around people right now and I'm really nervous about contracting the virus. Hey, we'll do our very best to keep you distant and away. But boy, we'd sure love to see you back in person, because I believe that that's the place where God wants us to listen to the Word of God. I believe that's the place where God wants us to learn the Word of God. It's interesting that the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15 that the local church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. If you've ever wondered why the ground of this world is crumbling, it's because that which should be the pillar and ground of the truth, that which should be sustaining the society and families and individuals, I tell you what, around the country, churches are crumbling. They're crumbling. Can I use a little bit of another analogy? The Bible says that we as a part of FBT are all part of the body of Christ. Some of us are the ears, some are the eyes, some are the fingers, some are the toes. And right now our body is operating on about 2/3 capacity. Now take 2/3 of your body and shut it down for a little while. I know that my wife would say, okay, Todd, in your body I want that to be your mouth and stomach. We'll shut down those two things, all right? Shed some of that COVID-19. The 19 pounds that you've gained while you've been quarantined, right? But you know, God didn't intend for our body to exist from a distance. He intended for us to be in person. He intended for us to be challenging one another. He intended for us to be iron sharpening iron. And so for our coming together, it's not just about the ministry of the Word of God, which, of course, that's the most important thing. But boy, I tell you what, I love to see my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm thankful that we have an immediate family that all know the Lord Jesus Christ. And there will be times that we spend a good amount of time away from each other. And I always look forward to that time when I turn the corner and I see my mom and dad and get to give them a big hug. Or I turn the corner and see my sister and her family. Or turn the corner, see my brother and his wife. Boy, I tell you what, when I've been away from them for a long time, it's significant to get back in their presence and in their fellowship. Tragically, we've allowed something to make us quite comfortable outside of what God has ordained. And let me just encourage you this morning. This is the place where God wants you to be. This is the place where God wants you to hear His Word. This is the place where God wants you to be learning His Word. This is the place where God wants you meeting with brothers and sisters in Christ. And oh yes, we might have to stay 6 feet apart. No problem there. I actually don't mind social distancing. When I'm in Walmart, buddy, you stay as far away from me as you can. When I'm in the grocery store, let's stay distant. That's okay. By the way, it's not just about picking up COVID. I don't want your flu bug. I don't want your cold. I don't want your seasonal allergies. I don't want any of that stuff. So social distancing is no problem at all. No problem there. But boy, I tell you what, there's nothing greater than being with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I really believe that for about a year now, our body's been operating on 0.25%. Probably we're around 2/3 right now. But boy, I look forward to the day where we're back up closer to the 100% mark and we see our brothers and sisters on a regular basis, because I want to be at the right place. You remember the story of Thomas the doubter. And that first Sunday when the apostles met there in the upper room, and the Bible says Thomas wasn't there, and oh, did he miss it. You see, I always want to be in the right place because I don't want to miss what God might do. I want to be there in the revivals. I can't wait for missions conference. You know, last year, as great as Brother Piggott did, it was all an empty auditorium, wasn't it, Brother Steve? I'm looking forward to missions conference, and I'm telling you what, I can't wait to have the missionaries come and to be able to have them, receive them, take missionaries on for support. Boy, I'm excited. I don't want to miss it. I'm excited to see these kinds of things ramp back up, because that's what God designed. God designed us to be interactive. God designed us to be a body. God designed us to be the foot, the hand, the eyes, the ears of His body. Being in the right place. The Lord Jesus Christ was there in the right place. He was in the synagogue on the Sabbath, but it's not only being in the right place. Well, I tell you what, it's exciting when you read further and you find that the Lord Jesus Christ is not just in the right place, of course, but He's meeting the right people. Would you read with me what the Bible says there in verse number 11? And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Boy, it's not only about being in the right place, it's also about meeting the right people. On this day, the Lord Jesus Christ entered the place where He would listen to the Word of God. And of course, I'm saying He was the living embodiment of the Word of God. Don't misunderstand. But He's in the right place, and of course He's going to meet the right people. He's going to meet a dear lady. A dear lady who has come to the synagogue to learn the Word of God. And the Bible says that she's not only a dear lady, the Bible says she's a diseased lady. Now I want to speak on this for just a moment, because I tell you, there have been some dear ladies that have been a part of the ministries that I've been able to either serve in or that I've been able to pastor. And perhaps you could do the same thing in your own thought process right now and think about some very dear individuals that through very difficult circumstances never missed. We just had one such lady that went home to be with the Lord a couple of weeks ago. Her name was Jane. Miss Jane was one of the sweetest ladies in our church in East Tennessee. And I tell you what, every time you'd come in the doors of the church, Miss Jane would be there. She'd often come to different things early, and she'd serve in any way she could. But I'm telling you what, Miss Jane had a constant smile on her face. I don't know that I ever saw Miss Jane downtrodden or disheartened. Miss Jane had such a sweet spirit. I'd come in, and I tell you what, I might have thought I preached the worst sermon that I'd ever preached. And she'd come to me afterward and say, Pastor, oh, that was good. I'm like, Miss Jane, apparently you didn't listen, or you're hard of hearing. You're not hearing it as it really was, but that was a dud. And she'd say, no, it wasn't, Pastor. That was great. Oh, Miss Jane ministered to my heart. Can I tell you about a lady by the name of Miss Charlesy? Miss Charlesy made it a point to go on as many teen department missions trips as she could. Miss Charlesy was, I think, and I'm not positive because you never ask a lady, but I think she was in her late 60s, going into her 70s when I arrived in the ministry there. And Miss Charlesy, I'm telling you what, she was a trooper. So she went with us to Mexico, where we went 5 days without a shower and without electricity. Miss Charlsey was a trooper the whole time. The next year, Miss Charlsey came to me and said, "Hey, Brother Todd, where are you going on the team trip this year?" And I said, "Miss Charlsey, we're going to Puerto Rico." She said, "Okay, sign me up." Miss Charlsey went to Puerto Rico with the teenagers on that trip. And we stayed in these little cabins in, I think it was Las Marias, Puerto Rico, in the middle of the mountains. The showers were straight out of the pipeline of the river of cold water, and it was freezing. I said, "Miss Charlsey, you okay?" She said, "I'm doing fine." 2 years later, I was really going to press her, and I said, "Miss Charlsey, I'm going on another trip." She said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to Kenya, Africa." She said, "Okay, sign me up." Miss Charlsey went to Kenya, Africa on that mission trip with a bunch of teenagers, and I'm telling you what, she's a very dear lady. Can I tell you about another one? And this lady would very much fit the text that we have right here in this passage. Her name was Miss Connie. Miss Connie's body was so afflicted with the nature of arthritis that she had braces on both legs. Her arms and her hands were basically shriveled up. They're close to her body, and her fingers were shriveled up as well. And so she had great difficulty in just getting around. She would walk just kind of back and forth with the nature of the braces on her legs. And with her arms kind of shriveled up, her and her husband would come to church every single week. And I tell you what, Miss Connie had the joy of the Lord. When you go over to Miss Connie's house, she had everything arranged right around kind of a lazy boy type chair or a recliner type chair. She had all of her mail off on one side. She had everything she needed to access and so forth in order to communicate and keep up and everything like this, because she was so hindered by what the arthritic disease had done to her body and how it had shriveled up her arms and affected her legs, shriveled up her fingers. She went home to be with the Lord. And I tell you what, after observing her life for so many years, I thought to myself, what joy she has in heaven now, because everything has finally been made perfect. Well, I tell you what, I think back to some dear ladies just like this, and perhaps some names and faces come to you like this, but here's this dear lady who said, "In spite of my disease, in spite of my difficulty, each and every opportunity that I have to go and hear the Word of God and to be able to learn from the Word of God, I'm going to be able to make it. I want to be there." Do you know, I've seen a lot of far healthier individuals that have all kinds of excuses as to why they can't make it to the house of the Lord. Well, I tell you what, Brother Ralph and Miss Connie would always be in their place. Miss Connie would always have something alongside of her with her walker or whatever. She'd have her Bible or whatever she needed. She'd sit down in her place and she would never miss unless she was providentially hindered. In spite of every difficulty she had, she'd always be there in her place. And I tell you what, that's this lady right here. You see, I don't want to miss out on what I might learn from the Word of God. I don't want to miss out on listening to the Word of God. I don't want to miss out on being with the people of God. And that was her mentality. Oh boy, I tell you what, I wished I had healing power. Miss Connie would have been one of the first people that I'd have gone to, and I would have done my best in healing power to heal her from all of her infirmities. Sadly, I don't have healing power. And she had to wait till she got to heaven for all of that to be fixed. But here's a lady who went to the synagogue, as she had done many times before, but this day was going to be much different. Instead of just listening to the Word, she was going to meet the Word. You see, the Word had become flesh. And I tell you what, I wish we almost knew this lady's name. That'd be pretty exciting, wouldn't it? But the Bible says, when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him. Oh my goodness, what does this rabbi want with me? The Bible says she's bowed. The indication is from the passage, and commentators believe that this infirmity or this arthritic condition had bowed her body way down. And perhaps she couldn't lift her head very well. Perhaps she couldn't do what others could do, but Jesus calls her to himself, and the Word of God says that when he calls her, look what the Word of God says, verse number 12, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now let me just tell you something. If this kind of thing could have happened to Miss Connie down at Central Baptist Church in Greenville, Tennessee, that entire church would have had a great, I'm telling you, a great party that night. It would have been so exciting to see the nature of the deliverance that was brought to this lady. She's been coming week after week. She wants to listen to the Word of God. She wants to learn the Word of God. But this week would be different. She did all she could to take that body that was so broken and diseased. She did all she could to get her clothing on, to make it there at the right time on the Sabbath, because that was her priority. But on this day, she didn't just go to hear the Word. She went and met the Word. And the Bible says the Word had become flesh. And the Word calls out to that lady and says, "Come." And Jesus healed her of that infirmity of 18 years. The Word of God said that immediately she was straight. You see, when Jesus healed anyone, they were immediately better. Better than they'd ever been before. And boy, she walks away glorifying God, because this day in the synagogue was different than every other day in the synagogue. You see, meeting the right people, this dear lady, she's diseased, but she's delivered. So far as we know, listen to this, this is very interesting. This was the last time that Christ was in a synagogue until his death, because they all kicked him out. What a testimony. Hey, I was there that Sunday. One Sunday in the early days of Fairfax Baptist Temple, Dr. Calvert finished preaching. And an individual came, and this was in the first building over on Braddock Road. An individual came forward and said that he wanted to receive counseling, wanted to talk about salvation and everything like this. And at that time, the choir loft was relatively small, so there's only about 20 people in the choir. But they stayed up for the entirety of the preaching to give more room in the auditorium. So Dr. Calvert finished preaching and everything like this. The man comes forward, the invitation. They began to deal with him in the back. Well, the man clearly had some issues, and he had some mental issues. And so he got up from the counseling, and the choir had begun to sing the invitation song. "I surrender all, just as I am," whatever the song was. But this man left his counselor, and the counseling sections were both on the back sides of the auditorium. One on each side, one for ladies to be counseled, one for men to be counseled. And on this Sunday, the man left his counselor and he cannonballed into the baptistry. Suit and tie, dressed up, came back for counseling, says, "I'm done with the counseling," and he cannonballed into the baptistry while the choir's singing, "Just as I am." Well, what happens to water in an enclosed space when you have a large volume of an individual jump in on it? And the choir, so dignified, "Just as I am." You know, and they're going through it. Oh my, what a wonderful moving invitation. Kaboom! In the quietness of that moment, as they're asking for people to come forward to receive Christ, come forward and make things right, this guy cannonballs in the baptistry and soaks the choir. There were individuals in that time, some of the men, that had the old comb over. Well, because they all got soaked, there was no combing over. If I remember right, Dr. Calvert turned back and said, "Men, get him out of there." Oh my, I tell you what, I remember that day. But I tell you what, there was no day like this day in that synagogue, because the Word healed a dear lady. She was delivered. She was delivered physically. she was delivered spiritually. But let's go to the next item. I want to be in the right place. Boy, I surely want to meet these kinds of people, meeting the right people. But in the midst of this story, you always have the cantankerous people. Would you see this with me? Verse number 14. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and he said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Thank you for that infinite wisdom. Does anybody in the auditorium, perhaps over a certain age, remember the Muppets? In the Muppets, there are two individuals. And I don't normally like to sing solos here at FBT, but I will right now. The two individuals that were there perched over the entire crew would sing together, why do we always come here? I guess we'll never know. It's like some kind of torture to have to watch the show. Boy, if you remember the Muppets, the two individuals were always there, ready to mock, ready to make fun of. They were the cantankerous ones. Now please, if you're sitting on the back row, or if you've perched yourself all by yourself with someone else, or you're perched there and you've got that individual that you're alongside of, I'm not preaching at you right now. Perhaps we have these kinds of individuals all over the auditorium. Why do we always come here? Oh, it's the synagogue again. Oh, don't tell me. I bet they're going to talk about the Bible again. Oh, don't tell me. I bet they're going to talk about Jesus again. Oh, don't tell me. I bet they're going to talk about the Word of God today. Why do we always come here? I guess we'll never know. It's like some kind of torture to have to watch the show. And every single Sunday that you come, it's as though someone has taken your head and put it in a press and tightened it as hard as it can be tightened, and then you come into services. Good morning, brother. How are you today? What's good about it? You should be blessed to be in my presence. Well, okay. I hate wearing ties. By the way, you don't have to wear a tie for admission here, okay? I hate getting dressed up. I hate having to drive the distance. I hate getting up so early. I hate that there's no coffee bar. Which, by the way, we do want to reintroduce and have it to you coming soon, all right? But they're the old codgers. They're sitting up there and they're not happy about anything. Miss Anita serves cupcakes. Why can't we have cookies? She serves chicken. Why can't we have beef? She serves noodles. Why can't we have rice? There's nothing ever good enough. And you know what, folks? Every church has these kinds of people. If I left FBT tomorrow and went to another church across town, you know, in a very short period of time, I'd begin to meet the two old codgers that are in that ministry. And then if I left that place and went to another place, I'd meet the old codgers that are at that place. Well, we haven't had a business meeting in forever. What's this preacher doing? If we have one more business meeting this year, so help me, I'm going to another church. Those lights are too bright. Those lights are too dim. By the way, I'm thrilled to death for the lights today. That preacher's microphone is too loud. Why does he get so stirred up? Why can't he talk in sign language? For the love of Pete, Don't they know that the padding on these pews have been down for 20 years? They should be replaced. Yeah. There's two old codgers. Boy, I tell you what. Everybody else is moved by the spirit of the singing. Everybody else is moved by the provision of finances, even though we haven't passed an offering plate in better than a year. Everyone else is stirred because someone joins the church, someone gets saved, someone gets baptized, and yet someone steps forward and says, from this day forward, we'll only have people get saved on the other 6 days, but we won't do it on this day. Boy, isn't that a shame? This dear lady had been diseased for better than 18 years. And on this day, she meets the Word in the right place. She meets the right people. And she's delivered. And you have someone step forward in all their holy potentate. Well, how dare you get healed on the Sabbath? Been great if someone just picked that boy up by the nape of the neck and the belt line of the robe and said, you're done, you're out of here. But those two codgers have got their spot. And so you know the best thing you can do? Is to just walk by the codgers and say, hey, hope you have a blessed day every day in this coming week. And then take it to the Lord and pray. Lord, would you bring the two old codgers out of the proverbial balcony and bring them to the front row and change their heart and make them excited that Miss Anita finally served rice at the next meal. You get it? You get it? I can't imagine that they were this depressing. But they were. Well, let's see how it ends. The voice of the cantankerous people chimes in and speaks up, verse number 14. Well, what does the Lord say in response? Look at what the Bible says, verses 15 to 17. Then the Lord then answered him and said, O great and righteous man, thou art so right. I am so sorry that I healed this woman from an 18-year infirmity on the Sabbath. Let me fix that and put her back under the bondage to Satan and to this disease, and I'll come back tomorrow. If your Bible says that, you need to get a new Bible, all right? The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And yet, the Bible says, all the people rejoiced. Speaking the truth in the midst of lofty opposition. That's number four. I want to be in the right place because I want to be around the people of God and I want to be around the Word of God. Boy, it's so exciting when you meet the right people. I've been so blessed in meeting so many people that are involved in the local churches that I've been able to be a part of. No doubt there have been cantankerous people. There's always the two or three individuals that they're just not happy with anything. But boy, I tell you what, the Lord spoke up and He spoke up great truth. Now let me make this clear to all of us this morning, lest you sit here and think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. There's a part of hypocrisy that's in all of us. Okay? Not me, Pastor. I've never been hypocritical about anything. Okay. There's hypocrisy in every single one of us. Oh, well, Pastor, if there's hypocrisy in this church, then I'm just not going to come. Okay, well, that's best. That's best. Just go and look for it someplace else, okay? Hypocrisy abounds. You say, well, I know, Pastor, everyone else in the service is just hypocritical, but not me. Okay, okay. The Lord addresses hypocrisy, and He doesn't desire that there be hypocrisy in any one of us. We ought to look for those areas in which we have been hypocritical, and it ought to be driven far from us. If I've said one thing and done another, it ought to be driven far from me. That's a fact. But the truth of the matter is that if you're looking for a church that has no hypocrites in it, you might as well keep looking because you won't find it at FPP. In fact, I dare say that you're going to wind up in a church all by yourself. But you won't stay in that church for long because you're going to find that eventually you have something that you're hypocritical about. I'm not attending that church. It's just a bunch of hypocrites. Okay. All right. I acknowledge this. And it's something for all of us to be working on. Not just something for the ministerial staff to work on, not just something for the deacons to work on, not just something for the church membership to work on. It's something for all of us. This is why we say, search me, O God, and know me, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Christ speaks right to this matter of hypocrisy, and he says, look, this guy right here is not right. This same guy that just spoke up and said, I shouldn't heal this dear lady who had this infirmity for all this time. This guy who just spoke up this morning, got up early so that he could take his donkey out and water it. How dare you say that I shouldn't heal this woman on this day? You see, what is the Lord teaching us? Here it is. People are more important than days and rituals. People are more important than days and rituals. I've told you the story about a lady whose tire was flat on a Sunday. And two of our church members saw that her tire was flat and that she was by herself. She didn't have a jack. She didn't have any capacity to deal with it. And the two men, members of our church, drove by and saw her need, and they rolled down the window, and they looked out at her and said, be warmed and filled. Bless you. Be warmed and filled. Wished I could help, but it's a Sunday. Sorry. No, they didn't do that. They rolled up their sleeves. They took the energy and capacity to go and find what they needed, because this lady was broken down on the side of the road. And they were ready to come to church. They were dressed up, ready to come to church. But it was more important to help this lady in her time of need. I had a dear individual here in the church that came to me the other day and said, hey, Pastor, I've got this difficulty, and so I'm going to miss this service. Do you believe that this would be according to the Scriptures, that we've got our ox is in the ditch? And I'm like, yeah, I think that's exactly what would happen. Pastor, in the overnight hours, into Saturday and Sunday, my house burned to the ground. Should I deal with it? No, it's Sunday. That's crazy. Christ said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. And this lady's need is far more significant than the day. And it's far more significant than the honoring of the day. Now, what is our desire? What is our pattern? Well, we ought to set aside our Sundays and make the house of God a priority. Yes, I try not to mow my grass on Sundays. I try not to do, well, I don't really like to do outside work anytime. But I don't want to put that as the model of what everyone sees in my neighborhood. But if my ox is in the ditch, I'm going to get it out. Why? Because God is God of the Sabbath. And the need of the person is far more significant than honoring the day. Now, if you start telling me every Sunday that your ox is in the ditch and it happens to be in a boat down here at Burke Lake, I'm going to know something's up. Okay? Pastor, my ox is in the ditch on the 16th hole. I'm going to know something's up. No, we honor the Lord and we set aside our time to worship Him. But there are occasions where the truth is we have to deal with something, and it's not a violation of Scripture. I, for one, am glad that police work on Sundays. Aren't you? I'm glad they do. I'm glad that doctors and nurses work on Sundays. Aren't you? I think this is the big one. Sorry, it's the Sabbath. I would have survived, but they wouldn't help me. You know, I'm glad they work on Sundays. I'm glad that plumbers work on Sundays. Aren't you? You see, in so many of these arenas, we've elevated a specific day and we've said to ourselves, we're holy because of what we do or don't do on that day. And God says, listen, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. And if your ox is in the ditch, you need to take care of it, no matter the day. And by the way, religious man, you think you spoke in righteousness, but you actually spoke as a mouthpiece of the devil. When you emphasize that I should have waited for this lady to be here another day, you are a mouthpiece of the devil. And your hypocrisy shines forth to all. I don't want to be like that cantankerous person. I want to be the one that's in the right place. Because I never know what God's going to do in ministering to the right people. Whether that's a need in my life or the need in someone else's life. But boy, I tell you what, if I've got an arena of hypocrisy in my own life, I surely want to look within and say, okay, Lord, do the work in me first. It's really easy to fix all the small things in your life and to protect the bigger things that are in my life. And Christ very verbally and very vocally rebukes this religious man and says, I can't believe you said that. Here, this dear lady's been delivered. And it ought to bring about the greatest time of praise that's ever been in this synagogue. And no doubt the Lord Jesus Christ left that synagogue that day, and the religious crowd thought to themselves, good riddance. We finally got rid of that guy. But in truth, what a sad day. Because the living embodiment of the Word never came back that way. Now, where are you this morning? Perhaps you stand in need of spiritual healing. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman was delivered not just from the diseased nature of her body of the 18 years, but she was delivered spiritually. The Bible says that all of us are born in sin. The Bible says that all of us deserve an eternity in hell, but Jesus Christ so loved you that He gave Himself that you could be saved. Perhaps you're one of the cantankerous ones. And where you should just give pause for rejoicing and give energy to what's going on, you're always there like Michael was with David in 2 Samuel chapter 6, ready to pour cold water on what God is doing. Well, I'm praying for you right now. Oh, I know everything's not perfect in the ministry. Everything's not perfect at FBT. We have much to work on. But I surely don't want to be the one carrying the pitcher of cold water, just waiting on someone to be stirred and revived and challenged and growing. And I come along and say, ha, ha, not for long. I'll douse that. Well, I want to be the one that comes alongside of them and says, hey, praise God for all that He's doing in your life. Boy, if there's a matter of hypocrisy in my life, may we not sit here in the service, as I said in the introduction, giving the elbow to somebody else. But may we look within and say, dear Lord, help me on this matter. You know I've been very hypocritical about this or that. Lord, help me to be what You'd have me to be. Well, I tell you what, there's no better place than to be in the house of God. And I'm so thankful for it. It's a great joy for me to be around these very people. And every single opportunity that I have to come here, I'm excited about what God might do. And I remember back to that day when that guy jumped in the baptistry. No one will ever forget that day. Oh, there were many other days like that, but that one stood out. And you know, I don't know, but that God won't continue to do great things like that. I know that was odd, but do great things in the ministry. And boy, I surely want to be a part of it. And I want to see God's hand at work. Say, well, Pastor, we're dealing with difficult times. Yeah. But you know what? With Almighty God, there's nothing that is impossible. Let's pray.